Folks, welcome to our Board of Supervisors meeting of August 18th, 2026. I'm going to read a few announcements here for us, then we'll get started. So, hearing devices are available on the left side of the dais. Board chambers are T-coil compatible for hearing devices. Speaker slips are available at the back of the chambers and on the right side of the dais. The board provides remote public comments by audio only through Zoom. Remote participants will not appear by video and must listen through Zoom, as the county live stream and cable broadcast may have a delay. To speak during public comment, please use the raised hand function in Zoom or press star 9 if joining by phone. When called, the clerk of the board will ask you to unmute, announce your name or the last three digits of your phone number, and let you know you are live to provide comment. Phone participants may need to press star 6 to unmute before speaking. With that, please join the board for the flag salutes. Okay, with that, we are going to move on to the consent agenda, items 1 through 25. I'm going to open public comment on the consent agenda. This is, again, public comment only on these items, not general public comment. We will have that later. I don't see any speaker slips. I'll give everybody one more shot. Anybody here in person want to speak on a consent agenda item? Okay, seeing none, I'm going to close in-person public comment on the consent agenda, bring it back to the board, and ask if we have anybody online that has a comment on the consent agenda.
No.
Okay, I am going to close online virtual public comment on the consent agenda, and I'll bring it back to the board and ask if board members have questions or comments or would like to pull an item on the consent agenda. Okay, seeing no lights go on. Okay, Supervisor Ortiz-Lake.
Yes. Thank you. Good morning. I just want to make a quick comment on item 7 and then also on item, where's my, hold on, please. Sorry about that.
No worries.
It is, yes, item 20. No, that's not it. 20, with Susie Jed joining first five. That's item
five.
Thank you.
Okay, so we got 5 and 7 for you.
Mm-hmm.
And Supervisor Moreno.
I don't have the number of the presentation in front of me, but for Captain Landgraf, I wanted to.
Okay, very good. And I'll make a quick announcement about that. In fact, probably now is the right time to do that. She won't be able to attend, and so I'm going to take the chair's prerogative to move that to the consent agenda from our general presentation items. So this would be the appropriate time. So I'm going to indicate that. You have a comment on that one.
Yeah, we all.
We probably all do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then Supervisor Moreno, did you have any others? Okay. Supervisor Pichon.
Yeah, just a comment on 6.
Comment on 6. Okay, very good. Well, we will start with item 5, Supervisor Ortiz-Lake.
Okay, item 5 is very excited to have Susie Jed, who is our new Director of Public Health, as our designated county representative on First Five. So we're really looking forward to having your input on our First Five board, and we know that everything from 0 to 5 matters in a child's life, and your experience and all of that is going to be very much welcome. So thank you.
Excellent. Item 6, and that was Supervisor Pichon.
I just want to thank Paula Elsie for stepping up to replace Norma Moy, who you all know passed away at the Paso Robles Cemetery District. So thank you. Thank her for that.
And item 7, Supervisor Ortiz-Lake.
Yes, this is our San Luis Obispo County Tourism Business District appointment regarding the Avila Beach Local Advisory Board. And this is Allison Padeo from, she's from Peregrine Hospitality, which is really the hotel chain that bought all of Noreen Martin's hotels. And so we're really happy to have her join our tourism board and bring her experience to that. And as we work on our Coastal Business Improvement District, we're seeing all sorts of opportunities there to work together. Thank you.
Hear, hear. And the next item I had was 23, which was the item honoring Captain Landgraf and her service. And I think we all have some comments. Supervisor Ortiz-Lake.
Well, I'll start out by saying that if there's a public servant that deserves recognition for her service here at the county, it's Captain Landgraf. She does everything from working at the jail as her main piece to helping with social services and all the health supports that happen at the jail. And as comes to our CenCal board meetings regarding community supports and understands that the transition from the jail to back into the community is a hard transition, and she's always been there on all aspects of those that have been justice involved. So I wish her a very happy retirement and thank her very much for her service.
Supervisor Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll echo all of that and add Captain Landgraf has been an extraordinary, calm, and compassionate voice in the midst of it, one of the most challenging, intense environments that we have in county government. I just look back over her 14 years here and almost as much up in Stanislaus County and think how much change she has seen. And yet every interaction I had with her, whether it was simple or complex, whether it was positive or negative in the challenging sense, she has always been calm and focused on what's best. And I just appreciate that quality of public service. I wish her the best as well, and sorry that she isn't here to receive our comments directly.
Supervisor Moreno.
Yes, in my short time here, she's been very welcoming, and she's been, in my mind, just an example of just good law enforcement person, a good public servant. And one of the things we state in the reso here was that she helped to raise the San Luis Obispo County Jail medical standards, the healthcare standards, by achieving the National Commission on Correctional Healthcare accreditation and establishing the facility as a model of correctional care and commitment to excellence. And that was so important. We had some really, you know, challenging times over the last several years, and so for her leadership in that and helping to make that possible, so grateful. And I wish you, Captain Landgraf, all the best in retirement.
Supervisor Pichon.
I'd also add on more, but I just want to thank her for her service to San Luis Obispo County. She's done an incredible job.
And I'll echo those comments. It really has been a pleasure working with Stephanie. You know, leading the Stepping Up initiative was a huge task, and she did a great job, and we're really going to miss her. And so, Stephanie and Captain Landgraf, I wish you the best in retirement, and it's well deserved. Okay, with that, were there any other items that board members had comments on? If not, be willing to entertain a motion.
Move approval of the consent calendar.
Okay. Second.
Got a motion and a second, and we'll ask for a roll call, please.
Supervisor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Supervisor Gibson?
Yes.
Supervisor Pichon?
Yes.
Supervisor Ortiz-Legge?
Yes.
Chairperson Paulding?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay. With that, we will move on to our formal presentation item section of the agenda, and we'll go to item 24. This is a resolution proclaiming August 2026 as Child Support Awareness Month in San Luis Obispo County. We will welcome Michaela Anthony to the podium, and I'll turn it over to Supervisor Moreno to read the resolution. Yes. And your microphone.
Please to read this resolution proclaiming August 2026 as Child Support Awareness Month in San Luis Obispo County. Whereas the San Luis Obispo County Board of Supervisors proclaims August as Child Support Awareness Month to honor the valuable work of child support professionals and to raise public awareness about the services offered by government agencies to help families meet the needs of their children. And whereas we encourage all co-parents to recognize that the Child Support Program is founded on the belief that the active involvement and cooperation of both parents significantly contributes to their children's well-being and success. And whereas the mission of California's local child support agencies and professionals is to provide essential services that address the financial, medical, and emotional needs of children and families across the state, And whereas the San Luis Obispo County Department of Child Support Services supports approximately 4,352 local families, distributing $15,210,000 in child support collections during federal fiscal year 24-25, thereby supporting 6,956 children and contributing positively to the local economy, with statewide collections totaling approximately $2.5 billion last year. And whereas the dedicated child support professionals in San Luis Obispo County strive to deliver exceptional service to families, working closely with parents and partner agencies to increase collection support, share resources, and ensure children in our community have the opportunity to thrive. And whereas the Department of Child Support Services is committed to transparency and actively works to reduce stigma and misinformation about child support by engaging the public through community outreach, these efforts aim to ensure families receive the support and services they need to raise healthy, successful children. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Supervisors of the County of San Luis Obispo, State of California, does hereby proclaim August 2026 Child Support Awareness Month in San Luis Obispo County.
Right. Good morning. Thank you, Chairperson Paulding, members of the board. My name is Michaela Anthony, and I have the privilege of serving as director of the Child Support Department. I am honored to accept this resolution recognizing Child Support Awareness Month. Child support is about families. We understand that every family has a unique circumstance and that navigating co-parenting can be challenging. Our role is to help parents meet their responsibilities while keeping the needs and well-being of their children at the center of our work. Our department's success would not be possible without the dedication of our child support professionals. Every day they work to help parents support their children, improve access to our services, and find better ways to communicate with the families we serve. They understand that behind every case number is a family, and most importantly, a child. The work they do makes a meaningful difference in the lives of the children and families in our community. Above all, they are dedicated public servants. They show up every day with compassion, creativity, and perseverance, committed to serving our community and supporting one another. I'm incredibly proud of our department. It is my privilege to lead this team, and even more so to work alongside people who are so committed to making a difference. On behalf of the Child Support Department, thank you for this recognition and the acknowledgement of the important work that we do. And to our child support professionals, thank you. Your dedication is what makes this department successful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We certainly appreciate all the work that you do. Are there any members of the public that wish to speak on this item? Okay, seeing none come forward, I'll go to online comment. Any online comment?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll close virtual public comment. We'll bring it back to the board for comments on this item. Supervisor Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd venture to say that the vast majority of residents of this county have no idea there's a Department of Child Support Services. It's one of those that works in the background and does makes a huge difference in so many lives. And it's just a great pleasure to see those who actually do that work here with us today, so we can thank you directly. Appreciate all that you do, and look forward to more success in your mission there.
Supervisor Ortiz-Lake.
Yeah, so happy to see you all. Thank you so much for going out there and getting in the middle of parents in regards to their children. And, you know, things are so stressful today for families. And to then to be through a family separation and all of that just adds, and it falls all on the head of the child. And you guys are there for them, and that really means a lot. So thank you for your service, and keep up the good work.
Supervisor Pashaw.
Thank you for delivering your exceptional services to the families of San Luis Obispo County.
Supervisor Moreno.
Yeah, there are just times when parents can't take care of their children in the way that they need to. They can't fully support them. And so thank you for what you do to help bridge that gap and make that possible.
And I'll conclude. We really appreciate your service. Glad to see you here. And keep up the good work for the families that need our support as a county and as a community. Thank you so much. All right, with that, we will go ahead and move on to item 25. This is a submittal of a resolution recognizing the Performing Arts Center, San Luis Obispo, and the Foundation for the Performing Arts Center upon their milestone anniversaries in 2026. And I will turn it over to my colleague, Supervisor Ortiz-Legg, to read the resolution, and we welcome Ryan Gross.
Yes, good morning. This resolution recognizing the Performing Arts Center in San Luis Obispo County upon their milestone anniversaries in 2026. Whereas in 1986, the City of San Luis Obispo, California Polytechnic State University, and the Foundation for Performing Arts Center joined together in a visionary public-private partnership to create a performing arts center that would enrich the educational, cultural, and economic vitality of the Central Coast. And whereas the Foundation for the Performing Arts Center was established in 1986 as an independent nonprofit organization to inspire philanthropic support for the Performing Arts Center and to ensure its long-term success for generations to come. And whereas after a decade of planning, fundraising, design, and construction, the Cohan Center of the Performing Arts Center, San Luis Obispo, opened on September 27th, 1996, becoming one of California's premier performing arts venues and a treasured gathering place for residents and visitors alike. And whereas during the past 30 years, the Performing Arts Center has welcomed millions of audience members and presented thousands of performances, lectures, educational programs, community events, commencements, and celebrations, while inspiring countless students through arts, education, and outreach. And whereas these milestone anniversaries celebrate 40 years of visionary leadership, collaboration, volunteer service, philanthropy, and enduring partnership among the citizens of San Luis Obispo County, the City of San Luis Obispo, California Polytech State University, the Foundation for the Performing Arts Center, and many individuals whose commitment has made the Performing Arts Center a lasting cultural asset for our community. Now, therefore, be it resolved and ordered that the Board of Supervisors of the County of San Luis Obispo, State of California, does hereby recognize and congratulates the Performing Arts Center of San Luis Obispo on its 30th anniversary, the Foundation for Performing Arts Center on its 40th anniversary, and commemorates the 40th anniversary of the partnership that brought this extraordinary community vision to life, while expressing gratitude to the founders, donors, volunteers, public officials, educators, artists, arts organizations, staff, and citizens whose dedication has enriched the lives of San Luis Obispo County. Thank you. Want to bring your colleague? And yes. Congratulations. Thank you. Okay. Yeah. You want to join it?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
The rest of my team is helping support Cal Poly move in today, so they got their hands full, so I got the easy job. Thank you to the Still County Board of Supervisors for the wonderful proclamation honoring the milestone anniversaries of the Performing Arts Center San Luis Obispo. The PAC is a perfect example of what is possible when a community comes together to build a brighter future, and we are honored to continue that vision and legacy after 30 years. It is a true honor to celebrate the arts throughout our county and to play a part in making the performing arts accessible to all of our community. Each year, we are especially proud to welcome more than 10,000 of the county school children to the PAC for student matinee performances, inspiring the next generation through the power of live performance. We're deeply grateful for the board's recognition and continued support, and for the opportunity to celebrate this milestone with the artists, audiences, educators, students, volunteers, staff, and community members who make the PAC such a vibrant part of San Luis Obispo County. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Open up for public comment. Anyone? Seeing none. Oh, we have one. Please come forward. Are you sure? Okay. Okay. Excellent. All right. Seeing none no members of the public wish to speak on this item. I'm going to close in-person public comment. We'll go to virtual public comment.
None.
We have none. I'll close virtual public comment, bring it back to the board, and Supervisor Ortiz Lake.
Yeah, it was an honor to be able to do this recognition today, because if we had all the volunteers and everybody that helped make the Performing Arts Center happen, this room would be in overflow capacity. You know, when you think about the volunteers who do the performances throughout the community, I know a couple of my neighbors, I always can tell when they're going to the Performing Arts Center, they have their black suits on as they go to help usher and do all of that. And then when you think of yesterday, the convocation at Cal Poly, where the start of the school year, where we were able to be in such a beautiful auditorium to welcome new professors, new students, talk about what's happening at Cal Poly, and then looking at the schedule of all the artists that are coming and have been through here. And so thank you for allowing us to recognize you. We look forward to, there is a lunch if for people listening, that there's a legacy luncheon on Saturday, August 29th, and you can go to Cal Poly PAC to their website to get tickets, and just knowing that this is a true asset in the community. So thank you, Ryan, and thank you for your work there, and also to your team.
Hear, hear. Well said, Supervisor Ortiz Lake. Supervisor Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, the PAC is an extraordinary facility, and it's an extraordinary resource and asset to the community. There's a lot to say about how it's affected the community, but one of my favorite memories is being in there in the middle of the day one day when they were having a student concert, probably fifth and sixth graders assembled, to hear classical music that perhaps was not in their wheelhouse, but I will tell you, the electricity in the room when the Forbes pipe organ cranked up for the first time was just stunning. We could see eyes widen and breaths taken in when they heard that incredible sound. So that's the kind of thing, that's the kind of inspiration that will stick with me, and wish you best for the next run.
And I'll just, again, extend my appreciation to you, Ryan, for being here representing the PAC and the wonderful asset that it is for our community. And so keep up the good work. And thank you to all your, everybody in the universe, whether it's the foundation or the volunteers and staff. Okay, well, with that, we will go ahead and move on to item number 26. This is our general public comment item. And if you've not had a chance to fill out a speaker slip, please do fill one out in the back. But if you haven't yet and you want to come speak, then come on up and you can fill one out afterward. So come on up, and then we'll go to virtual public comment after doing in-person. Let's make sure your mic's on. There we go. Yeah. Perfect.
Perfect. Thank you. Hello, board. Today, I would like to speak against the Flock and Motorola ALPR cameras in our district. For those of you who do not know, Flock cameras are an automatic license plate reader that records every time you pass by their camera into a database. Together, when you chain these together, these cameras track your location, your travels, where you live, and can be used to stalk people. Across the country, police departments are being sued, investigated, and under great scrutiny for stalking partners of cops, unconstitutionally detaining citizens without evidence, deporting parents in a Houston school district, and tracking women seeking abortions across state lines with over 83,000 flock cameras. So, what's the danger with these flock cameras? Well, search queries including seeking abortion, car coming from No Kings protest, racial slurs, and so much more have been put into this database to stalk and detain community members across the country. The 2022 flock patent allows cameras to classify individuals by race, weight, height, gender, and clothing. Flock cameras have very little to do with just tracking cars. Being tracked without a warrant isn't discriminating because against me or you, against a citizen or a non-citizen, or against a criminal or a non-criminal. SLO community members, people who travel into SLO, people who are just students, are constantly being tracked without their consent, without notification, into a database that is being used across the state, across the country, all without a warrant and oftentimes illegally. When I organized against flock cameras in Cal Poly, we found a startling trend. Officers did not actually read their own contract, and clauses gave flock an irrevocable worldwide license to student data and allowed them to share without student data with outside agencies with nothing more than good faith. Communities across California, including Oxnard, San Francisco, and dozens of others, are discovering flock broke state laws without notifying police agencies by sharing their data with outside agencies thousands of times. What am I going to find when I start FOIA requesting our contract with flock and Motorola today? In our region of the Central Coast, over 2,000 community members have been detained by ICE, only 11 having actually been detained with a warrant. The problem is not visible to you in this room, but it constantly threatens the thousands of community members who are in constant fear and are the most marginalized. I ask that this board to meet this rising moment that is coming in community centers across the country. Please consider banning all ALPRs in SLO. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other members of the public that wish to speak on the general public comment item? Okay, seeing none, I will close in-person public comment. We'll go to virtual public comment.
Yes, there's two.
Okay.
Gary Kirkland.
Hello.
We can hear you, Gary. Please proceed.
Thank you. I'm urging this board as strongly as I can to stop and not spend any money on offshore wind farms or windmills. The public here has spoken strongly that they don't support the windmills and the battery storage places where they support them. So please don't spend any money on offshore wind. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll go to the next.
Okay, next is number ending in 090.
Good morning, board. This is Wendy Lewis with El Camino Homeless Organization, and I'm calling in to share the utmost appreciation for the amazing celebration we had last Thursday for the Blyco Family Resource Center and Echo Family Wing ribbon cutting. As I looked out on the crowd, it was a sea of supporters, volunteers, partners in our work, and people we serve to celebrate a special day. By opening the family wing, we will be able to welcome 30 more individuals and children and expand from our current 130 beds to 160. I'd like to share my appreciation for Supervisor Moreno for sharing such kind words that day to not only celebrate the opening of Family Wing, but for our 25th anniversary celebration as well. And appreciate Supervisor Ortiz-Legg in attendance. I'd like to invite those on the board who weren't able to make it to come for a tour and be inspired as we walk through and see the special things that we were able to put into place, like the children's creativity room, Bella's bookshelf, beds that the kids picked out their sheets and that we'll be welcoming them very soon. So I just want to share such appreciation for this board, the community, for helping ECHO provide the services we do. So far today, we've helped almost 230 people back into housing or help them stay in housing. But the most, the best part of last week was one of our moms who was housed last year. She shared bravely her story of her life's journey and where she's at today. So Tyra, I just want to share such gratitude, and I want to leave the board with a quote from Tyra from that day. Today, our family has been housed for more than a year. My children are thriving. My son is starting school. We're making memories in a home that's ours. And for the first time in a very long time, I have a room to dream. When you're consistently living in survival mode, you don't think about your future. You're thinking about today. Where will we sleep tonight? How will we feed my kids? What happens tomorrow? Dreams don't have a room to exist when you're just trying to survive. I have a dream, and every day I'm taking steps toward making those dreams a reality. And she shared that was because of ECHO support when her family needed it. So thank you again from all of us at ECHO for the support from this board and the community, and especially the Belay Cove Foundation that helped be the catalyst to inspire others. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Are there any other members of the public that wish to speak who are online?
RJ?
Yes, hello. Good morning, President and members of the board. My name is RJ. I'm speaking today on behalf of our family to thank you for honoring my Emma. As a dedicated county worker, a pillar of the Filipino community, Gemma worked tirelessly to make our county a better place. For her greatest pride was always her family. Her legacy of love and strength shines bright today through her devoted husband, Danny, her daughter, Janine, and her son, Isaiah. Knowing how much this board values the arts, we are so proud to share that Isaiah is currently starting his first year at Cal Poly as a member of the university band. While it breaks our heart that he is taking this huge step into the arts and college life without his mom by his side, we know that she is watching over Danny, Janae, with immense pride. This official recognition brings our family so much comfort. Thank you for celebrating a remarkable woman who gave so much to this county. And thank you for closing with a moment of silence in her honor.
Thank you. Are there any other members of the public that wish to speak online?
No, that was the last.
Okay, we'll close virtual public comment. Bring it back to the board. It was a little bit to hear you, RJ, but I think you were mentioning our county employee, Gemma Salting, who tragically passed away in a car accident last week. And so thank you for recognizing her. I plan to adjourn today's meeting in her honor, and I know that Devin Drake, our Department of Social Services director, also has some comments about her. So under the board comments item, when we get there here in a little bit, we will have Devin say some words. So thank you. Also, I know to the members of the board here who attended the ECHO celebration, I don't know if you wanted to respond to Wendy now or maybe make comments later, but I'm sure there's something to report there. Okay. We'll do that under board member comments. But Wendy, we heard you, and thank you for attending today, and congratulations on a job well done with that new project that will provide more housing for our unhoused. Okay, with that, we'll go ahead and move on to the next item on our agenda, which is our board business item, item 27. This is a request to consider a $25,000 contribution to the County of Santa Cruz to support coordination of local government efforts to oppose offshore drilling and seabed mining and to take related action as appropriate. We'll turn it over to the Executive Office.
Bill Lucia with the Executive Office, and if you recall in your last meeting, there was a request to bring back an item for consideration of a contribution to the effort being led by the County of Santa Cruz and several other coastal counties in opposition to offshore drilling and seabed mining. And the item is before you for action and direction. And the The recommendation would be if you proceed to provide direction to the CEO to enter into an agreement with specificity in terms of the use of the funds.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate the brevity with that presentation. All right, well, we will ask if there are any questions of the board before we go to public comment on the item. Seeing no lights turning on, we'll go to public comment. I have a speaker slip from Mr. Greg Haskin. We'll welcome you, Mr. Haskin. If anybody else has a comment on this item, please do fill out a speaker slip in the back and bring it to the front.
Good morning, board. Glad to be here today. Greg Haskin, representing CoLab. You've had a very challenging budgeting year. Revenues aren't as wholesome as you'd like, and costs keep going up. Sending $25,000 to Santa Cruz County is not a wise expenditure of taxpayer funds. We need all the taxpayer funds we can get to provide the services we need here in San Luis Obispo County. If this is such a great cause, why not hold a fundraiser? You can raise public awareness and you can send the proceeds off to Santa Cruz County. It's a wonderful thing, but we need those taxpayer dollars to provide the services that the taxpayers need here in San Luis Obispo County. So I strongly urge you to decline this request. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other members of the public wish to speak on this item? Seeing none, I'm going to close in-person public comment, and we'll ask if there are any attending virtually who wish to speak.
Yes, Gary Kirkland.
Hi, thank you. Gary Kirkland from Tascadero. I'm calling to urge the board to vote no on this. I feel this is a misuse of public funds, a type of misfeasance. And if the public wants to have protests or do anything, they should do it. But they shouldn't use my taxpayer money when I might support offshore oil drilling, and my tax money shouldn't go for it. There are others that might be the same feeling I have. So please vote no on this. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kirkland. Any other members attending virtually?
No.
Okay. I will close virtual public comment and bring it back to the board for discussion and deliberation. Supervisor Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's unfortunate that we need to consider this, but I think times as they are necessitate it. This county's had a very proud and strong 40-year history of opposing offshore oil for a variety of reasons, not the least of which our coast is the engine of our tourist-serving economy. And we understand both as a government agency and as associated communities the importance of protecting it. As it's outlined in the staff report, our 40-year history, this county has actually been a leader as we passed Measure A in 1986. The staff report outlines some of the history of the statewide opposition to offshore oil, and we were right there in the vanguard of establishing California as a place that it seeks to phase it out for all the obvious reasons. We're unfortunately at it again. The Trump administration, in a callous and cynical attempt to further a policy agenda that makes no sense in the wider world, has put out a call for offshore leasing up and down the state of California. And that's not the only, and some would say, I've heard the argument this will never happen here. But, again, they persist. And that is part of an overall assault on the hard-earned protections that this state has put in place to protect our coast. We see it in the federal administration's efforts to undermine, perhaps nullify, the Coastal Zone Management Act. Those conversations are strongly underway right now as they do an unscheduled audit of our activities. And we have heard rumblings that I think we should take seriously about the assault on the marine sanctuaries that are a huge protection for our coast and have been studied as a huge economic driver, again, of our tourist-serving industries. So I am proud that this county has joined with 11 other of the county, 12 of the 15 coastal counties have joined together under Save My Coast. They have organized, and I want to call out our colleague Supervisor Justin Cummings of Santa Cruz County, who's been a leader in this, but Santa Cruz's efforts to organize opposition under the OCS, Outer Continental Shelf, the local government OCS coordination program has retained an extremely experienced gentleman by the name of Richard Charter, who is taking this argument strongly through the federal process and to the public through the media. Again, all of the activities, the plan, and the projected use of these funds to keep this issue front and center and mount the strongest possible opposition to it are outlined in the staff report. And I think that in terms of protecting our economy, it's hardly a waste to devote $25,000. We've spent quite a lot protecting trying to advance other parts of our economy, and this is baseline stuff. So at an appropriate time, I'd be happy to move that we authorize the expenditure of $25,000.
Thank you, Supervisor Gibson. I will concur. We have dealt with the consequences of oil spills and the associated remediation here on our coast in the past. Avila Beach would be one example. The Guadalupe Dunes Restoration Project, which is actually in my district, is another example. I think the reality is that, as Supervisor Gibson mentioned, we do have a long history and tradition of opposing offshore oil off our coast. And I think this sends a strong message, not here, not off our coast, and it will be something I support today because I think it's a nominal contribution to a coalition of counties that will continue to advocate to protect our coast. It protects tourism. It protects our environment. There's a whole host of reasons for why we should support this, in my opinion. Supervisor Pichon.
Yeah, I won't be supportive of this today. I know that doesn't come as a surprise to anybody. We have had Measure A since 1986, and that is why there is nobody talking about putting oil wells off the coast of San Luis Obispo County. So I would just urge my colleagues to vote no on this. We don't need to send $25,000 of our taxpayer dollars to a county that's twice the size of us, Santa Cruz.
Supervisor Moreno.
Thank you. I think the advocacy that needs to be done can be done without us sending taxpayer money to Santa Cruz. I would also note that the Attorney General in California, Attorney General Bonta, is mounting an effort with other attorneys general throughout the country to fight the administration and what they're trying to do with the oil leases through BOEM. So I think if California is taking this on and we have our local efforts that we've already from Measure A to everything else, I don't think we need to, again, send taxpayer money, $25,000 to Santa Cruz. I don't, I see that being a bit of a slush fund that goes where it's intends to be very opaque to the taxpayer and how that's actually used. So I will not be supporting this.
Okay, seeing no other further comments, Supervisor Gibson.
Mr. Chairman, I will move that we authorize a $25,000 contribution to the County of Santa Cruz from Fund Center 103 to support the efforts to oppose offshore drilling and seabed mining, as indicated in the staff report, and authorize our CEO to execute any related necessary agreements.
I'll second that motion, and I think under discussion, our staff was looking for direction related to making sure that we get a report back on the funding contribution to the concerns noted by Supervisor Moreno and Pichong. I think that it is important that we make sure that we have some accountability related to that funding. So I'd like to include in that direction that we coordinate, our staff coordinate with the County of Santa Cruz, make sure that we understand what level of reporting will be provided to show how the money was spent and that it was spent in a fiscally responsible manner.
Yep.
Supervisor Ortiz-Lake.
Yeah. Well, I think it's pretty clear that none of us really support offshore oil here on the California coast. I mean, the outcry that we had on offshore wind, a clean energy, was pretty significant, and we love our coast. You know, I will make note that the one thing that I see is interesting is that when it comes to mining, I'm not going to talk about the oil, but the mining aspects of things. You know, mining is in demand because of batteries, and everybody's driving electric batteries. And not that I think that that's okay either on the coastline, but, you know, I just want to make sure that we don't become environmental elitists in regards to the fact that the every aspect of extraction for energy has some impacts, and that you know, it's okay for it to happen someplace else, but not here. So we want to be mindful of the kinds of things that we do in regards to our energy. And I'm happy to support the efforts of Santa Cruz County and the area, just as I'm happy that they support us in our energy generation at Diablo Canyon. So I just want to make note of that and ready to take the vote.
Okay. Seeing no further comments, I'll ask for a roll call vote.
Supervisor Gibson?
Yes.
Chairperson Paulding?
Yes.
Supervisor Pashong?
No.
Supervisor Ortiz-Legg?
Yes.
Supervisor Moreno?
No, ma'am.
Motion passes.
Thank you. With that, we'll move on to item 28. This is a submittal of a resolution authorizing the issuance and sale of the Slo County Financing Authority Nacimiento Water Project Revenue Refunding Bonds 2026 Series A to obtain debt service savings and approval of related financing documents and actions necessary to complete the refunding. And I'll turn it over to Jim Hamilton, our Auditor, Controller, Treasurer, Tax Collector, and is there one other in the
Public Administrator.
Anyway, we appreciate Public Administrator. All that you do, Jim. Thank you.
Yeah. So, Jim Hamilton, ACTTC, good to see you, board, this morning. With the stated goal of brevity, you guys let me know how I do after this. No PowerPoint, okay? As you mentioned in the item recommendation, today's action is to approve a resolution to authorize the issuance of Nacimiento refunding bonds. The action is quite procedural in nature. I reported this out at the debt report in the third quarter. So today what we would do is we'd be actually authorizing the issuance. I'll give you a little bit of details about kind of what's to come on that. Also appointing the financing team, which includes bond disclosure counsel, our independent municipal advisor, the underwriter, the trustee, et cetera, et cetera. And finally approving the preliminary official statement, which is a document that goes out on the market for individuals interested in purchasing some of these bonds. More details in the staff report for anyone that's interested. A few comments. The county does not participate in this particular financing other than kind of facilitating it. The agencies that are involved are the Tascadero Mutual Water Company, the cities of Paso and Slo, and also Templeton CSD. A Tascadero Mutual approved support for it last week, and this item is on the agendas, as I understand, of the cities and Templeton CSD today. But up until this point, they've all been consulted with and they support it. We did a bond rating presentation with Standards and Poor's last week, had some follow-up questions, and it's going to their committee today. We expect a strong bond rating. As far as what's happened in the market since the debt report, things have kind of slipped. We're still expecting $4 million of gross savings that would be spread amongst the participants. That's down about $1 million from what we had seen earlier in the cycle of this transaction. We do, in our debt policy and with the participating agencies, we express a minimum savings of 3%. So if the market were to slip more, we do, you know, aside from the resolution today, we have the ability to kind of halt the transaction. So as far as next steps, September 7th, the week of September 7th, we will price, and then we would go to sale in the first week of October. So at that point in time, we'll get updated pricing and decide to go or no go. With that, I can take any questions or entertain a motion.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Mr. Hamilton? Okay, seeing none, we're going to go to public comment on the item. Any members of the public wish to speak on this item? Seeing none, we'll go to virtual public comment. Anyone online?
No.
We'll close virtual public comment, bring it back to the board for discussion, deliberation, and or motion. Supervisor Moreno.
Thank you for saving the taxpayers some money, and I will move approval of the item.
And just for the record is, you are acting in the capacity as the Flood Control and Water Conservation District, not as the county.
Yes.
Okay. And I will second that, and I will note that I think we had four other items on this agenda today in regards to Nacimiento Pipeline, which, of course, for my district is San Luis Obispo City. And happy to help them along as we use the water here at the county building as well and in my home. I really appreciate staff efforts on all of this in regards to our regional water supply. And then, again, here, saving the taxpayer money and saving the city monies, which then can come back into the pockets of our residents, which is so badly needed. So thank you.
Okay, With that, Supervisor Pashong.
No, I'm ready to vote.
All right, we've got a motion and a second under discussion. Thank you, Jim, for the work, and I'm glad that we're looking at refinancing and refunding the bonds and fiscal prudence. Okay, we'll ask for a roll call vote now.
Supervisor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Supervisor Ortiz Legg?
Yes.
Supervisor Pashong?
Yes.
Supervisor Gibson?
Yes.
Chairperson Paulding?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay, very good. With that, we will go ahead and move on to item 29. This is a board business item. This is to receive and file the Title 29 Affordable Housing Fund Annual Report, fiscal year 25-26, and provide direction as necessary. And I'll hand it over to the Department of Social Services for the presentation.
Good morning, Chairperson Paulding, members of the board, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Marge Castle, Program Manager for the Department of Social Services, Homeless Services Division. I'm joined by George Solis, Principal Administrative Manager for the Homeless Services Division. The summary of all accounts includes the period from July 1st, 2025 through June 30, 2026. During this period, funds in the amount of $108,775.83 were dispersed to local affordable housing providers. The unspent allocations of Title 29 funds total $205,734. No funds were allocated in the 2026 action plan. The remaining available funds are $264,764.15. This amount is not adjusted for risk rating. We'll provide that information later in the presentation. During fiscal year 25-26, no new affordable housing units partially funded by Title 29 were completed. 119 units partially funded by Title 29 will be completed during the fiscal year 2026-27. The following slides will provide information regarding the affordable housing projects that received Title 29 funds. Rolling Hills 3 is being developed by People's Self-Help Housing. This 28-unit affordable housing community for low-income individuals and families in Templeton includes 7 units set aside for those experiencing homelessness. Additional funding for this project includes Home ARP, and the San Luis Obispo County Housing Trust Fund. An application for tax credits was submitted in May 2026. If successful, construction should begin in February 2027 with an estimated completion date of January 2029. Arroyo Terrace Apartments is being developed by San Luis Obispo Nonprofit Housing Corporation. The project in Arroyo Grande will provide 63 units of affordable multifamily housing for low and very low income households, including 16 units for those experiencing homelessness or at risk of homelessness. Additional funding for this project includes Community Development Block Grant Funds, also known as CDBG, project-based Section 8 vouchers, and private financing. The project is currently under construction with an estimated completion date of October 2026. Ballyco on Monterey is being developed by San Luis Obispo Nonprofit Housing Corporation. This project in San Luis Obispo will provide 56 units of affordable housing for low-income seniors. Additional funding for this project includes CDBG, project-based Section 8 vouchers, and private financing. The project is currently under construction with an estimated completion date of October 2026. Monterey Family Apartments in San Luis Obispo is being developed by San Luis Obispo Nonprofit Housing Corporation. The project will provide 50 units for individuals and families earning between 30 and 80% of the area median income and one manager's unit. The project is mixed use with commercial and retail spaces on the property. The project is currently under construction with an estimated completion date of December 2027. Cambria Pines Apartments in Cambria is an affordable housing community being developed by People's Self-Help Housing. The project will provide 33 units for individuals and families earning between 30 and 70% of the area median income, including 8 units for those experiencing homelessness or at risk of homelessness, and 7 units designed with ADA-compliant mobility and/or hearing-impaired features. The project is in pre-construction with an estimated completion date of January 2029. Unspent funds, which were allocated to a project prior to 2019, were relinquished during fiscal year 25-26. These funds are included in the remaining available funds for the Central County and the South County. The chart shows the beginning balance in the amount of $558,321.03. $108,775.83 was dispersed during fiscal year 25-26. Unspent allocations total $205,734. Accrued interest during this period totals $20,952.95. The total amount of low, medium, and high-risk funds for 12 permits totals $110,148. The risk rating is generally determined by the number of inspections on a project and whether the project has sufficient time to be completed prior to permit expiration. In the past, we've allocated low-risk funds. However, considering the age of the permits and the low fund balance, staff recommends retaining this amount due to the potential risk of refunds. The recommended amount of Title 29 funds for the 2027 Notice of Funding Availability, or NOFA, is $154,616.15, consisting of $13,251.59 of Central County funds, $124,427.55 of South County funds, and $16,937.01 open to all funds. Staff requests that the board receive and file the Title 29 Affordable Housing Fund report for fiscal year 25-26 and provide direction as necessary. Thank you very much for your time. Staff are available for questions.
Thank you. Appreciate the comprehensive presentation and staff report. We'll ask if the board has any questions. Seeing none, we'll go to public comment. Are there any members of the public that wish to speak on this item? Seeing none, we'll close in-person public comment. We'll go to virtual public comment.
None.
Okay, we'll close virtual public comment, bring it back to the board for discussions and deliberation and or a motion. Or it's a receive and file. Thank you. So any comments? Appreciate the work. Supervisor Ortiz Lake.
I just want to see the Cambria place done.
So many do.
Thank you. Thanks very much, staff.
Okay, with that, we'll consider that item received and filed. And we'll go ahead and move on to item 30, board member and CEO comments and reports. I certainly have a couple items I'd like to hit today. And then I know that we were going to make, or our Department of Social Services director wanted to make a comment about the employee that we lost. So. But we'll adjourn the meeting with that. So we'll do that one last. Okay, so the two items I have. One, Creeklands and our local resource conservation districts, I think have been approaching each of our offices about how to strengthen coordination with them leading up to this El Nino storm season. And obviously they do a lot of work with private property owners, landowners in all of our districts. And I was hoping to get board support just to give some encouragement to staff, the executive office, our public works team to have conversations with them, kind of coordinate with them to understand the proposals that they're bringing to us, the ideas that they're bringing to us, and if appropriate, bring something back to the board for consideration.
And in the Office of Emergency Services?
And the Office of Emergency Services, yes.
Yeah, Public Works. The key there, and I think we need to look within the county organization, the choke point on this is going to be permitting at the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. And if that can be resolved, then this will go forward and it will be a great thing. And I think what we're seeing, as I understand it, is some investigation by the proponents of this, Creeklands and others, to see if that's real. So contingent on that, absolutely yes.
And at this point, not asking for a decision, just that our staff kind of work with them on that. Yeah. Okay, so it looks like we've got thumbs up. Okay, I think there's consensus then, and staff has direction. The next item relates to that, and that is really just really extending our appreciation to the executive office as it works with the Office of Emergency Services and Public Works and other departments on preparing. We could call it disaster preparedness or just preparing in general for this storm season. I know that there's work being done, for example, with Public Works to work with our surrounding jurisdictions and the Public Works departments of each of the cities, and I think even some kind of a PSA video. And I just would encourage us to also consider updating information on our website and anything that the board can do to partner. For example, you know, if the office, the Public Information Office, was available to do videos of board members talking about the work that we're doing, I think that would be a good idea, kind of PSAs on that note. Just throwing it out there. And then one other similar item, our rebalancing and resilience initiative is a really good thing. And we're working to make our county government more efficient. I don't know that that is understood in the community at the level that I think we would all hope that it should be as we go into difficult budget times. And so the idea here would be that we would have a dedicated webpage to the Rebalancing and Resilience Initiative and link on that webpage all of the reports that we've received from KPMG of the various departments, kind of showing our work and helping us communicate to the public that we're doing everything we can to make county government efficient. Because if it ever does come to a question of, all right, we'll have to find creative ways to raise revenue, we need the public to understand that we've done everything within our power to make the government more efficient. And I also thought a PSA type video or a video featuring our chief executive officer and or board members talking about that initiative would be something we could partner with Jeanette's team on. I'm seeing some nods from our CEO and maybe some thumbs up from board members.
My only concern is that, you know, there's nothing more, I think, aggravating to a taxpayer when you're driving down the highway and you see some big fancy sign that was like, this highway improvement made possible by your tax dollars, which you also spent on this fancy sign. Or when we get sent, you know, and we get sent numerous of these flashy colored brochures that are thick and glossy and lovely from a nonprofit or, you know, government agencies that send these kind of things out. So I understand, like, I want the public to understand too. And I think sometimes the public, unless they have a reason to be engaged in government, they're just not engaged in government. So us putting up a website and having a board of supervisors all say, hi, we're doing well with your money, I don't know if that's going to produce the result that we're looking for. And we're asking staff to, hey, go create this webpage. And it's just one more thing on their plate to do. So I'm not opposed to us trying to get that information out, but I don't know if that's the best way to do it.
I hear your comments on that. Supervisor Ortiz-Lake.
Yeah, I hear her comments as well, Supervisor Moreno. I think that there's very, very relevant comments. I do like the idea, however, of a repository of this action that's been going on for 2 years, because there is so much, and as opposed to having go to the social services page or go to the public health page, you know, in regards to the KPMG reports, something succinct and not complex, but be able to really, for us to be able to point when we do have, recently I did have a request for funding from a specific situation, and it's something that we haven't figured out yet. It has to do with arts, and it would be great to say we want to get there. Here's what we're doing in order to help improve our efficiency. So, you know, not too much, but again, a point of reference for people to understand this complex and multi-year effort that we're on.
And I'll just note that communications regarding our resiliency initiative is an agenda for today, so.
Yeah, we can't get too into the discussion. Yeah. And I wasn't suggesting a new webpage. It would just be updating information on the executive office's current page. Okay, well, our county council has indicated that we need to wrap this discussion
District
up.
District 2 is Supervisor Gibson? Yeah. Chopped liver? Come on. I share colleagues' interest in seeing this information. I mean, I'm not, again, like other colleagues, I'm not opposed to that information going forward. But
I think it obviates a discussion that's been overdue here, which is the bigger question of how we tell the county story and how we deal with our public information mm-hmm. flow. And we have talked about it. We have a number of folks that are employed to do that for the county. What we lack is a certain coordination and a vision for what we want to be doing. So to the extent that putting this information forward does not get in the way of bringing that conversation to this board at the earliest possible point, I think it's fine.
Okay, excellent. And before we bring Director Drake up, I wanna make sure that other board members have an opportunity for other items.
Yeah. Right, as you mentioned ECHO and both Supervisor and Ortiz Lake and I went. So the Belico Foundation was the significant philanthropic funder for the new family wing. There were also other some other community members that were significant contributors along with the rest of the community. And what was interesting is the folks from Belico said, you have a need here, and they spelled it out with numbers, and they said, we're ready to do five more of these. You need to find the property. You need to find the willing participants. Like, they're ready to go. They said the money is easy. I talked with one of the other funders that I mentioned later, and she said, yeah, the money is the easy part. And I said, well, that's your easy. Like, other people have, you know, it's like easy for you to say. And what she said, and I love this, is she said, if everyone does their easy, like, we solve this. And ECHO is actually a very good example of that. They have 200 meals that they do between Atascadero and Paso every single dinner, and that is done 100% by volunteers. And so think of the money that would need to be spent to serve 200 meals 365 days a year, and those funds can now be used for other services that are needed by the individuals staying at ECHO, whether it's workforce development, it's, you know, helping them find jobs, it's counseling, it's financial readiness, all of the things that these individuals need to repair and heal their lives and become independent again. And Wendy shared a little bit of Tyra's story. I'm sure Supervisor Ortiz Lake was tearing up as much as I was to hear her talk about where she is now and how much support ECHO was and having that ability to now dream and feel like I'm independent, I've got my kids with me, and anything is possible in my future, where, you know, 2 years ago she didn't have that feeling. So all of that to say, it government alone cannot solve this problem. It takes all of us. And so I would just say, each of you in the community, if you have a heart, and I know so many of you do, to help those in need, particularly those who are experiencing homelessness, what is your easy? And whether you're in North County with ECHO, whether you're South County for Five Cities, it's Prado, it's Welcome Home Village, where's your easy, and where do you see yourself fitting in, and see what the opportunities are for volunteering or giving, again, whatever your easy is. So thank you.
You're here. Supervisor Ortiz Lake.
Yeah. That ribbon cutting was just an incredible demonstration of the community of Atascadero, North County in general, ECHO's efforts to bring community along. Scott from the Belico Foundation noted how important it was to have a neighborhood welcome a community like this. So the easy, you know, in regards to the money, finding, we know the need is there. We're getting reports right now with children starting school that are coming from living in their vehicles. It's real, it's happening, it's significant. I think that the pieces that I also noted seeing there, every member of the planning and building department from the city of Atascadero was there. They had gotten this project started, finished in 1 year. That is remarkable. I just can't say enough about that. And of course, the testimony of somebody who had been pregnant and with children and unhoused, and then now resilient and being able to say that we are thriving, just talks about that there is success in the people who are working and supporting families that are struggling at times of need. So, you know, I think there's a lot for us to do here when it comes to really focusing on families and looking at our properties and all of that. So I welcome that work ahead.
Okay, well said. Seeing no other lights turning on, I will ask Director Drake to come forward and as we honor the employee that we lost.
Chair Paulding, members of the board, good morning. I'm Devin Drake, Director of Social Services. First, I want to profoundly thank you for taking the opportunity to remember and honor Gemma Salting. Rarely, I believe, we have the opportunity to know somebody so exceptional as Gemma. I had the opportunity to visit with a lot of her co-workers, and what stuck out is that there was this constant theme. And when I see themes like that, then I know this person really was this way. The themes were she never had an unkind word to say about anybody. That if there was a conversation happening that may turn in that direction, she'd simply walk away. She was kind to the very core. Multiple of the individuals said, it's who I wanted to be. And so when we lose someone like that, it leaves a huge hole. But we're also extremely blessed to have known someone like that. And so I thank you for taking that time to honor her. Her passing was a shock and very untimely. I wish this would have been more of a slow moment where she could be here with us and we could be expressing our gratitude for the example that she was to everybody. So with heavy hearts, we are grateful for this board to recognize and honor her. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Drake. Supervisor Ortiz-Lake.
Yeah, it that really hit hard, and I just want to express my condolences to her family on such a stunning and tragic instant moment when everything's fine and then it's really not. And just that her contribution to the county was definitely noted and from the coworkers, and so how hard it is to lose their mom and the family and wife, and then into the staff. And I just am just brokenhearted and so sad. So we just hope for healing and praying, and God rest her soul.
Well said, and I too want to extend my condolences to Gemma's family and to her community and loved ones, and to her colleagues who are mourning her loss. And so today I will adjourn today's Board of Supervisors meeting in Gemma Salting's name. Our next schedule, well, actually we have closed session, so we'll go to closed session, but our next meeting will be September 1st. So does council have any comments on closed session?
Yeah, closed session, where we'll meet on very briefly, about 10 minutes on item 15.
Okay, we will now adjourn to closed session.
Public comment.
Oh, any public on closed session? Seeing none, any virtual public comment? Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment on closed session, and now adjourn to closed session. Thank you. Sure.